Paul the Apostle here is writing to his disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let me give you a little setting of where we're going to be going this morning. I'm not going to be able to cover it all, but I want to read to you some thoughts that I put down to give you the setting. How many of us know it's important when you study the Word of God, have the Word of God taught to you and preached to you, you understand the setting and the background and what's taking place. Paul here is writing his last letter from prison before he was to be beheaded. This is a great man of God, probably one of the greatest men in the Bible. Some would debate it, but I believe he wrote 13 books out of the New Testament. Hebrews, I believe, is debated between Apollos and Paul, but that's not important. The fact is many believe strongly that he probably wrote that. Nonetheless, Paul has gone through and come to the end, and he's writing his son in the Lord, Timothy, from a jail cell. This is the very last writings of this great man of God to his son in the Lord and his disciple, Timothy. Timothy is in Ephesus. This is the church that Paul the Apostle started. And now he has sent Timothy there to continue to build the church there and establish the church, continue to establish the church, and continue to teach the people of God there in Ephesus. Paul is writing this last letter to his son Timothy, and he is at this time in a Roman prison writing his final words of instruction to him. Paul understands and knows the struggles of Timothy because Paul himself faced them while he was in Ephesus. And as he was facing these battles in the ministry, God felt to encourage his son Timothy. Timothy was the Apostle Paul's son in the faith, a leader in the church at Ephesus. Paul founded the church in Acts chapter 19. By the time he wrote his second epistle to Timothy, the church and its leaders in Ephesus, where they were characterized and they were having problems within the church. Doctrinal issues, errors, there was a lot of sinful behavior, there was a lot of wickedness and evil, and if you were to read about Ephesus during this day, it was a place where it was probably very difficult for a young man to be pastoring and leading this Ephesus church. Paul was a man of great experience, knowledge, and insight to what Timothy was going through because he had been there, so to speak, and done that. Amen. This was the church that he had founded. Paul has now sent Timothy, and he is to rectify or deal with these problems. Paul is sending this young minister to this church in Ephesus, and we need to understand that in 1 Timothy, if you go back, contains Paul's instruction to Timothy. So if you read out of the book of 1 Timothy, it's filled with instruction to this young minister, this young preacher, this son and disciple of Paul, and he's instructing him all through 1 Timothy of how to set the Ephesian church in order. And as he instructs him, 2 Timothy goes on to give him more of a personal counsel to his son. It's more talking to him directly in a personal level. So 1 Timothy is, all of it is gone through with instruction, how to deal with issues, how to deal with problems. He says, don't let no man despise thy youth. Take the authority that God has given you and the call of God upon your life, Timothy, and begin to initiate it into the Ephesus church. Don't worry about what people say about you, what people do, how they're coming against you. You take the God-given authority that he's given you, Timothy, and you begin to walk in that authority. Paul is now in 2 Timothy beginning to deal with him on a personal level. Because what I believe Paul, as he was praying for Timothy, if you read the Word of God, there was a lot of struggles that Timothy was facing. And there was a lot of demonic things going on. There was rebellion in the church. There were many that were rising up against him. And if you read about the struggles of Paul and what he struggled with in Ephesus, this was a very difficult place to establish a church. Amen. So Timothy here is probably in a place of discouragement. And we can read in 2 Timothy where Paul is trying to build him up and strengthen him and give him a confidence to know that you have not been called of man, but you've been called of God. That should get your attention. If you were in the work of the ministry or have been called into the work of the ministry, Paul stated it best, I haven't been called an apostle by man, neither was I given my gifts by man. Therefore, man really, truly doesn't have the ability to give or take away the authority that God has given me. How many of us know just because your daddy was a preacher doesn't make you a preacher? Just because your daddy was a pastor doesn't make you a pastor. You've got to be called by God. Amen. Paul recognized the rich heritage that Timothy had. Timothy is dealing with some serious problems in the church. So what's taking place is he's probably getting fearful and afraid because I believe the devil was probably coming at him from so many different angles. 2 Timothy was a word of encouragement and instruction to Timothy on a personal level. To be strong in the Lord, Timothy, my son. How many of us know you've got to be strong to work for God? But that strength doesn't come from yourself. 2 Timothy 2 and 1 is where we're going. And at this time, Timothy is definitely apparently dealing with some experiences. And there's a lack of faith, I believe, that has been injured, if you will. He's been discouraged because things weren't probably going the way that he wanted them to go. So he needed reassurance by an elder man of God, a father in the faith, if you will, Paul the Apostle, as he writes him this letter. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle. So he established as a him, Timothy, my son, Paul, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. He's praying for his son in the Lord. He says, my prayers have been prayed night and day. How many of us know it's important to pray night and day? Amen. Daniel was a praying man. He prayed 3 times a day, even when he was told not to pray. And that's what the devil does. He tries to tell you don't pray because he knows there's some power. There's some things that will happen when you begin to pray. God spoke to me a couple weeks back and he says, I want you and your wife to begin to pray more together because there's power in agreement. Amen. You want to see the devil get nervous? Let two come and do agreement and begin to agree and begin to see the strongholds of hell torn down. I know you're struggling, Timothy. I know you're fighting adversity because I've been there. I've walked those roads of Ephesus. I've dealt with the demons in the streets of Ephesus, Timothy. I know what you're going through, and that's what I like to be instructed by. I like to hear men of God of experience. I like to sit under men of God that know what they're dealing with, men that truly know the battles. I don't mind sitting under folks that are older than me, but I like to learn from them from experience. Amen. There's something that can never replace experience. Paul had the experience of what Timothy was dealing with. He says, and I'm praying for you. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee and being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, this is a personal letter to his son, being written from a jail cell, knowing that he was getting ready to be killed and become a martyr for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the unwavering, the genuine faith that I know is in you, Timothy, I can see the passion. Listen, he knew his son, Timothy. Let me tell you something. God wants people that are genuine in the faith. Amen. That they don't take their calling and election as just an accident. Or listen, the Lord knows them that are his. And what we've got today is a generation of people that don't know who they really are in Christ. We got to realize that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are in a battle. We are in a fight. And we need to fight the good. good fight of faith. The devil knows that his time is short, and he's doing all that he can to wreak havoc in the church. He's doing all that he can to fight against you. And ultimately, what he wants to do is he wants to destroy your faith in God. You go through enough trouble and you'll start to think, God ain't with me. You go through enough pain and suffering and trials and have it coming from every which way. That's how life can be to us sometimes. Time after time, season after season, year after year, it's getting harder. The struggles are getting more fervent. You're dealing with your own self. You're dealing with family. You're dealing with friends. You're dealing with co-workers. You're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting battles not only in the physical, but in the spiritual. Paul said, I'm fighting them within. I'm fighting them without. I'm fighting with my brethren. I'm dealing with false brethren. But oh, they all forsook me. Oh, listen, Paul's all by himself in a prison cell. He doesn't have anybody. That's why he's saying, oh, Timothy, come to me. Come and visit me. Bring this brother. Bring that brother. And he's all by himself. But he came to that place of saying, when everybody else forsook me, the Lord stood with me. And can I tell you, that's what it comes down to, is that family will reject you, friends and loved ones, even your best friends. A wife will turn their back on you. A husband will turn their back on you. But can I tell you, there's one that never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And you may be discouraged today, and I don't know what you're going through, but listen to the heart of the Apostle Paul to his son Timothy, saying, Timothy, you're going through so much, but I want you to understand I'm praying for you. That's the key, brothers and sisters, praying one for another. Sometimes we just need reassurance from somebody that I've got your back. When you feel all alone, like Paul in a prison cell, you're not alone. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when things don't seem to be going the way that you want them to go, it's a good indication that, yes, God is with you. The devil's going to lie to you and say, if God was really with you, everything would be going good. But I'm here to tell you, usually when things are coming against you, men are speaking evil of you, you're being attacked from within and from out, you grab your head and you say, I can't take anymore. That's the time when you need to recognize that God is with you in this battle. God hasn't forsaken you. There's somebody today that's in a battle for their life. You've been discouraged. You've been downtrodden. Life has thrown everything at you to try to destroy you. But by the grace of God, you're still standing. By the grace of God, you're still in the house today. And if you're breathing today, you've got hope, because Jesus Christ is our hope, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Trying to encourage somebody today. Discouragement is real. Oppression is real. The devil doesn't want you to have joy of the Lord in your heart. Can I tell you, you need to fight for your joy. It's a battle. It's a struggle. Paul is all by himself in a prison cell, about ready to meet the executioner's sword and get his head cut off. I know we're dealing with different battles, and sometimes we get in our cocoon and we think that what I'm going through, and all you can do is focus on what you're facing, what you're going through, what you have, what you don't have. And we just somehow get focused on us. Can I tell you, the Lord wants you to get your eyes off yourself. Look at Timothy here. Oh, Timothy's struggling. Look at Paul. He's all by himself. He isn't having a pity party. He isn't saying, I'm in a jail cell, feel sorry for me, look at what I'm going through. He's looking to go encourage somebody else. He's saying, I got a son in Ephesus. His name is Timothy. All the hounds of hell are coming against him. And that's what the devil will do when you're trying to serve God, when you're trying to do a work for God, when you're trying to do all that you can to get closer to God. The hell gates, they're going to open up and come against you with every onslaught. But I'm here to tell you, if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul is encouraging his son Timothy. Oh, don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. I'm praying for you, Timothy. Don't let your faith fail. Now God will come to help you. Hallelujah. Telling you, Paul the apostle was a man that faced so much. What he's trying to do in the heart of his son Timothy is saying that devil's trying to stomp out your flame inside of you. He's trying to quench your faith. Notice Paul wasn't focusing on his dilemma. Can I tell you that's what you need to do? You need to go help somebody else. You need to go help a brother. You need to go help a sister. You need to go pray with them. You need to write them a letter. You need to send them a text. You need to send them an email. Get your eyes off of your problems and get your eyes on somebody else. It will make you feel a lot better, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. The blessings of the Lord are when we help others that are in need. And when we be about our Father's business, He will be about our business. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your problems and start saying, God, what can I do to help somebody else? Now, I know some of us are busy and our schedules don't allow it, but I'm here to tell you, if you ask God, is there something I can do for you, God? Is there something I can do at the church? And is there somebody that I can go visit? Is there somebody I can go encourage to come to church this Sunday? It's sad, but some of you have never even brought a visitor, amen, into church. My God, help us to realize, if we're really being about our Father's business, we're going to be looking upon the needs of others. What would possess a young man, Timothy, to want to go to Ephesus? You read about Ephesus. It wasn't a very nice place for Christians to go to. And then, you know, not only were most of his battles coming from out, he had a lot of problems from within. It's one thing to fight folks that aren't saved, and you're dealing with folks on the outside in the world, unsaved, so to speak. But when you got to start dealing with your own, God help us. Amen. You love them. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose family. And guess what? We're family here. I don't care. We're family here. We might be of different backgrounds and nationalities, but we are the family of God. Paul is trying to stir up his son in a time of great discouragement. He was dealing with many things. And as we take it up here in verse 5, you still got your Bibles, I hope. Verse 5, Paul says, when I call to remembrance, talking to his son Timothy, the unfeigned faith, the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, I am persuaded that you got the same faith as your grandma and your mama. Timothy, the same faith I seen in your grandmother and in your mama. Aren't you glad for those of us that had parents that served the Lord? Hallelujah. Some of us didn't have parents that served the Lord, but I remember the faith of my grandfather. I wasn't saved, but I seen he's always talking about Jesus. He's always bragging about his God. He's always talking about what he did in Mexico and how God was healing. God was setting free. God was delivering. I was 18 years old. I could care less about what God was doing in Mexico, but I still was attracted and drawn to the stories. There was something within me, even at the age of 18. Amen. When I was still wanting to do my own thing. But I still was attracted. There was something deep down inside of me that was attracted of what God was doing in my grandfather's life. Not knowing that all together at that time, he was praying, amen, that one of his sons or grandsons, and I was his grandson, that would take over the work of the ministry in Mexico. Amen. And God, hallelujah. Oh, 17 years later, got a hold of this young preacher and began to deal with his heart. My grandfather had already died and went home and went with the Lord, not knowing that he was praying, get a hold of my grandson Nathan, deal with his heart that he can pick up the mantle and continue the work of God. I'm here to tell you, God's got a call upon some of you. God has somebody that was praying for you. That might have been a grandpa, it might have been a grandma, but somebody was praying for you. It might have been an uncle, it might have been just somebody, but amen, we need to understand we are where we are today because somebody was praying for us. Timothy's grandmother and mother were women of faith. I could preach right there. That's what we need in this day and hour, are women of faith. The Bible talks very little about these two women, but can I tell you, if they are women of faith, they're women of prayer. I can tell you that's what we need today in the church because we got so many weak men. We got so many men that don't really have what God has ordained them to have. We need some strong women of faith like Lois, like Eunice, oh, the grandmother and mother of, oh, you didn't hear me. Give me some mothers in the faith. Give me some sisters in the faith that can pray for their children, that can pray for their mothers. Oh, come on now. Oh, that's what you Eunice was doing. That's what this woman was doing. She was praying for her daughter. And because she prayed for her daughter, that same prayer was went down into the generation of her son Timothy. And Paul says, I recognize that the same faith that is in them is in you, Timothy. Can I tell you that's all you need is faith in God? Hallelujah. This is where I want to go right here. And verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. I'm thinking of you, Timothy. And I want you to think about this. Don't forget your rich heritage and legacy of your grandmother and mother. Hallelujah. When I think of my grandfather, I know he prayed for me. Before my mom passed away, about a month before she died of cancer, she says, I prayed for you when you still were in my womb. And when I think of where you are today in the work of God, I remember when my mom and daddy were serving the Lord and evangelizing in the southwest part of the country, and they were traveling around. I never got to see physically. I was too young, and my parents divorced, and amen, the devil came in and destroyed our family. But I can tell you, when I was still in my mother's womb, my mother said we were traveling to different churches. She'd have the bass guitar up on her lap, sitting down playing as they sang and preached in that part of the country. And she says, in the intermissions, I'd lay my hand at 6 months upon my stomach, saying, raise this child up to be a man of God. Raise my son up to be a man of God. I'm telling you, God hears. Listen, God knows us before we even came out of the womb. And God will honor the prayers of your mother. He'll honor the prayers of your grandmothers. He'll honor the prayers of your father. I'm telling you, God is a God that answers prayer. And I am an evidence of that today, of the goodness of God, that God is a God that may not answer the prayer right here and now. But if you will pray for your children and your grandchildren, it might take 15, 20 years. But God is a God that will answer the prayers and be faithful to you, having faith that he will do a work than that which you have asked him to do. Can you say amen? My mother says, not only did I pray for you, but your grandfather prayed for you. I spent 2 years of my life with my grandfather, a man of God, a man of fasting, a man of prayer, a man full of the Holy Ghost. You look at my grandpa, he would look at you and it's like he had Holy Ghost radar. Amen. He would see right through you. He'd tell you what you're doing last week. I know where you were, son. I know what you were doing. Amen. And I'm praying for you. You got to get out of them hell holes. You got to quit hanging around some of those friends you're hanging around with. The Holy Ghost knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. And amen, what he'll do is he'll send a man of God, a man of faith, amen, to speak to you, to let you know God's got his hand upon you. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. That's what Paul the apostle was doing here, is that he was writing to his son Timothy to let him know, I know what you're facing. I know what you're going through. And hold fast to the faith that was put inside of you by the laying on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God within you, Timothy. Remember that you had a godly heritage of a grandmother and a grandfather. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God is wanting somebody to be encouraged in the faith today. Don't lose hope in God. Your life might be a mess right now. Your marriage may be a mess right now, and the devil's doing all he can to destroy our families in the church, destroy the faith of the church. But I'm here to tell you, the church suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. It's about time that we put our heel on the neck of the devil and tell him, devil, you've lost the battle. You lost it at Calvary. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody needs to be encouraged in God.